The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Greetings to you. My name is Brant. Producer Sherry is here too. We're so glad that you are listening today. It is a theme show. That's right.
Oh, I did not know that.
Thank you. I know. I thought I would bust this out on my own producer.
This is news to all of us,
it
guys.
Lean in. Even Sherry has no idea what's going on. Today's theme, I'm going to be hitting on a lot because I've just been thinking about this a lot. Like, today's theme is hope.
Okay.
So, I want to talk about it from different angles. Mm-hmm. It's really a wonderful thing. But I've just been thinking about it, reading about it, stuff. Wanted to share some things with you. And, of course, we'll have some breaking animal news, too, because a lot of people have been asking for that.
Yeah, sure. That's hopeful.
So it is. You wait till you hear it. It's really good. All that's coming up. This is fascinating. I was looking at history and plagues and things, like a lot of people have been studying. But there's a historian named Rodney Stark, and he wrote about some of the early plagues after Jesus' life on Earth and how Christians responded to it. But he said something that's really interesting. He's a reputable scholar, but he said that the believers had much higher survivability rates, substantially higher than the population at large. And the reason he attributes this is not crazy. It's hope. Mm. And I've read that with Viktor Frankl from the Holocaust, for instance, the people who were facing incredible difficulties in camps. The ones with hope were much more apt to survive. Mm-hmm. I've heard that from prisoners of war camps. But there's something about hope that makes such a big difference. And he was saying it becomes more obvious in times of adversity. Like the people who haven't and that have hope and the people who don't, it becomes way more obvious. Okay, by popular demand, I thought I won't do this for a while, but people really want breaking animal news, so I'm going to do breaking animal news.
Okay.
All the other stuff that's going on, people are like, can we do something?
You don't want to do it, but the crowd has requested it. Is that what you're saying?
The truth is I do want to do it, but I was trying to say, here's why, and then...
Right. Yeah. Someone agreed with you that it should
like,
be
like, hey, can we take a little break, do a little breaking animal news with all this stuff going on? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have breaking animal news, because animals are doing stuff, and kids want to know about what animals are up to, too. So here you go, a couple things. Number one, I just saw this dog playing Jenga. You know the game Jenga? You stack up the wood things.
Yes.
And he's really good at it.
Okay.
He's a German Shepherd. I saw this video. It's amazing. He's playing a human, and he can, with his nose, nudge out a little Jenga piece and then grab it with his teeth and set it down on the table. And he's, like, better at it than humans are.
I'm sure he's a dog.
It's
like a lot of saliva and slobber and stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't have to go there if you don't want.
You're the news anchor. I'm trying to paint the picture here.
I'm amazed, and I say it's awesome. So we salute this. I saw it. It's on a video. Google it. German Shepherd Jenga. It's pretty amazing, you guys. We were just talking about hope. There's a lot of reasons for hope. I know you can look at all the headlines that are cascading in all the time, and I understand the difficulty that people are going through, but there's this weird thing about people of hope. There's actually a scripture in Isaiah. It says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Mm-hmm. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There's something really weird in a refreshing way about people who have hope. And hope shows up if you're thinking, yeah, but there's all this bad stuff going on. Exactly. That's why it's so remarkable. You can still be a person of hope, and it comes through in your attitude and the things that you do, the way you're looking at the world. You're not going to be overcome by it because God gives you a peace and a joy that you never experienced before. It's not even something you can understand, but it's from Him. It makes you very different. People of hope are very different. Among the weird things that are going on right now, having to talk to like your parents and be like, no, you're grounded. You cannot leave.
Yeah, all of a sudden, they're the kids. I had to stop my mom from going to Burger King the other day.
Yeah. This is something a lot of us are going through. It's really weird.
My parents and grandparents, the same thing. I'm telling them, like, try not to go out too much. Because after a few weeks, it's like, you get cabin fever. You want to get out there and do things and just struggle.
Yeah, this is a weird situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're telling people older than us and younger than us, like, you can't be doing that.
Well, I've had to tell my mom to adjust her way of thinking, right? So you feel like someone's telling you you're trapped. And now it feels like, I got to get out of this house. Now, that's, you are leaving the house now more. Now, you stay in the car. You don't go anywhere else. But you're leaving more now than you did before this. So whatever is telling you in your brain that you are trapped and you've got to get out of the house and making you some kind of Harriet Tubman here, we actually don't need to do that. There would be times before where you'd stay in the house 2 or 3 days and not go out. So why now we have to hop the fence? I'm not sure.
Underground Railroad to burgers is not as... It's not as inspiring.
No, it's not as lofty.
We humans are something else. Reason I mention this, you know the story of Barabbas in the Bible? This is Holy Week, and so this is a part of the Holy Week story, but Barabbas is a guy. He's a murderer. He's convicted. He's a political revolutionary. He's kind of a bad guy. I didn't know this until this week. I suppose a lot of people have known this. You know his real first name was Jesus?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's in like the RSV. It's in different versions of the Bible, some of the manuscripts. Barabbas is his last name, and it means son of the father, Abba.
Wow.
So here's two guys, the crowd. Think about us humans. We're the crowd. We get to pick which one we want. And you know who we chose? The guilty one. And here's the Jesus, the Messiah, as he's, as Pilate calls him. Which do you want, Jesus, I think it was Barabbas, or Jesus called the Christ? Which one do you want? We chose the evil guy. That's just how we work, isn't it? But how wonderful is it that, think about this, the one who's innocent takes the punishment for the guilty one. You know, as bad as we are as a crowd, you realize Jesus looked at them, he looked over people while he was on the cross and said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Like, they don't fully understand what's going on here. How wonderful is it that the guilty ones get to go free because of him? How amazing is that?
Pretty cool. It's a theme day on the Brant Hansen Show. And the theme, oh, hang on a second. It's a theme day on the Brant Hansen Show. This is the Brant Hansen Show.
Oh, good.
I've been forgetting to do my own jingle.
That was a perfect placement for
it. Yeah, if you're new to the show, I have a jingle. I can't afford the singers. You need like a couple guys and a couple ladies.
Yeah.
I have to sing it live. But anyway.
We got it.
Anyway, we did that. And then what I want to say, we're talking about hope today. So, you know, hang on a second, because I'm going to circle back here to coronavirus and stuff and what we're going through. But back in the day, you know, the Romans had many gods. A lot of cultures did and do. But they'd have like Mars, the god of war, Pluto's the god of the underworld, all those different gods. And Paul in the Bible is writing to the Romans. Now, these are believers, Christian believers. But of course, that's the backdrop. Like, they have the god of war, and the god of the underworld, and the god of this. And he identifies the god that they worship, the god of, well, guess what it is? May the god of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were going through stuff. This God, he could have used any descriptor there. God of hope.
Just a thank you to Fellowship Home Loans for sponsoring our podcast. They really appreciate what we do. Mike and Brian are pretty awesome. I've gotten to know them just a little bit, and I really, really like them. If you're interested at all, you need to get a mortgage or maybe refinance or something. They're very creative, and they listen. They like thinking creatively with you. Anyway, here's the phone number for Fellowship Home Loans. It's 800-804-SAVE, 800-804-SAVE, or just go to fellowshiphomeloans.com.
We've been talking about hope a lot. I wanted to mention something too, because I've said this, I mean, I wrote a book kind of about that, about how I struggled with some church stuff over the years. I don't understand some of the stuff that gets attached to Jesus' name. It doesn't seem to make sense to me, but tell you what, even though we may have lost our way, including me, over the years, over time, something like this can really remind us of who we are. Something like what we're going through right now, I believe it really can. I'll tell you who we're not. As believers, we're not people of despair. That's not who we are. There are people of despair, but that's not us. That can't be us. We always have hope. We always have it. And you can see that going back in history,
the people who went through early plagues and early difficulties, they were localized, but they still lived 100,000 people in a city. It happened in Athens, like in around 200 AD. Like, this was devastating. But the letters that you read, they're not despairing from the believers. There's this sense of well-being. And they even use the term joy, which is, again, this sense of well-being, even when everything else is going crazy. Like, it's not to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Your pain doesn't matter. No, you can enter into people's pain, but and into your own. But there is that joy thing. It's still there. That's who we are.
You were talking about despair. I'm wondering how you would define that, because I was just reading when Paul was talking about we're this but not this, we're this but not this, and he used despair, like we're not in despair. And I'm wondering how you would describe despair.
I think it's the opposite of hope. It's a hopelessness. Like, I can feel down, but even if I, and I do, even as I struggle with depression, I can speak to that and say, I know what's true. My feelings can mislead me. There's something that's sustaining me even as I feel down. And I think a lot of people can relate to the anxiety too. It's like, I feel anxious, but you know what? I know God's in control. I just have to review that again. But the despair is when you don't have that to draw on.
When there's nothing bigger than what I'm feeling right now.
Right.
Okay.
It's, and again, I keep getting back to that story that Jesus tells, the parable, like the guy builds his house on sand or a rock. It's only in adversity that you find, oh, I build it on sand. I don't have the hope to build, to put something permanent on. This doesn't work. We very smartly got online weeks ago, ordered some toilet paper.
Did you?
Yeah.
Great.
It arrived yesterday.
Some weeks ago?
Yeah. We got it and we're fine. It's like 15 rolls.
Okay.
I'm not kidding when I tell you the 15 rolls can fit in a shoebox. Okay. But they mailed this.
That's what's happening.
The pictures
now
were misleading.
Yes.
They
that's
are
what's
tiny.
Happening now. Yeah. Yes.
So we were quite disappointed when we ripped it.
2 weeks for that. Like, oh, dear.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I know this whole time is anxious, but we've been talking about hope on the air here today, just to go after this again, because it's such a unique and wonderful thing. Paul writes about God. He's like God of hope. Like, one reason for hope, as much as you can be like, what if I don't have this supply? What if I'm taking care of that? What if we run out of that other thing? What if we have to? Okay, review this. And Sherry has said this before too, many times, like review your life where God has been good to you and always come through. Has he not?
Where has he dropped the ball?
Yeah, where's he dropped the ball? Fair question.
Yeah.
Fair question. So go back and review that stuff. Is there a reason? Does he have any track record with you at all that would suggest that you should be hopeful? Anything that he's done for you that suggests, anything that he's said, any experience you've had, anything you've read in the Bible, any other experiences that you've heard about that suggests that he's going to come through again? A lot of people canceling weddings, a lot of people postponing weddings. We've been talking about hope today on the show. It's kind of a theme show. But I was looking at this, and I just wanted to salute people. I don't know if salute's the right thing. It's more than whatever. Okay. Say, way to go. People are still getting married.
Yeah.
We just attended, air quotes, a Facebook wedding the other night.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
They had planned to get married in June, a young couple. And then they're like, well, that's not going to happen. So why don't we just get married now?
Okay.
And then we were all watching. So they set it up so we could all...
That's really awesome. I like that a lot.
It really is. There's something really hopeful about marriage starting. Something about that, like planning for the future, thinking beyond this thing. And then, you know, if you want to cancel or postpone your wedding, that's fine too. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but it really was beautiful. And it's kind of like when something like that happens amidst this background, it's like a... like at the jewelry store, they put the diamonds on the fancy black background. You know, so you see, it really stands out. There's something about that kind of hope right now. Somebody has a baby or something. Like, hey, I like this a lot. How wild is it that this is supposed to be our worst week, and it may well be, for coronavirus news, and it's Holy Week. And we're thinking about, if you're somebody who's a believer in Jesus, it's not just a thing that happened. It's everything. And it changes the way we look at everything else. So we're looking at this news, but can we look at it through the lens, if you're somebody who's a Jesus follower? This is why I talk about hope. Like,
the worst thing the enemy has, he really only has one weapon, and that's death. Mm-hmm. That's his thing. And here's God allowing himself to go through it and prove that it ultimately has no power. Like the very thing that we fear the most, he's saying, it will not separate you from me. I won't let it. Like, that's why we're people of hope. We even talk about hope a lot on the show, but that's it. I mean, we get to really think about it this week, and it's got to make a difference in how we view stuff like this. And it's got to take some of the anxiety out. And so like just knowing I actually trust him, not for what he's done, not just for what he's done, but who he actually is.
We've been talking about hope and Holy Week and stuff. How baffling must it have been?
I mean, just thinking about Jesus in front of Pilate. Like, how baffling that Jesus wasn't into his politics. I mean, Pilate was trying to figure out why he was supposed to be threatened by this guy, and he couldn't. So some people will say, well, Jesus came in with this political agenda that Pilate didn't like. It's like, no. Pilate didn't like the fact that he wouldn't even play the game. Like, he couldn't figure out, why am I supposed to be threatened? But he keeps going back out to the crowd. Like, what? He's not feeling threatened by Jesus. He's feeling contempt for him because he's not playing the game. He's not doing this stuff. It's so baffling and confounding when you encounter somebody who's thinking about something totally different and has their eyes and perspective on something totally that you think right, everything right in front of you is so important, and he's not seeing it that way. I think Christians are still going to be weird and baffling. If we're followers of Jesus, we're still going to baffle people. We'll have a vision for things that they won't. We're not going to be freaked out by the things that they say are ultimate importance. We'll go, no, that's not the ultimate important thing. There's something else. There's going to be a peace there. I think that was completely baffling to Pilate, and I think it's still baffling to people.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.